Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
We have provided Unit 99 of the Sacramento Police Department, the tape recorder it carries, and the officer in charge, Sergeant Meredith, so that you, who depend on your police for protection, can hear them in action, on duty. And what you hear on this radio program is real. No question about it. The suspects are real. The victims are real. Bear this in mind as you hear these cases. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith, on duty.
Unit 3. 415 at Cutting at 5th and Broadway, code 2. Unit 5. Cover in on 5th and Broadway. One of the parties involved, a juvenile, has left. Unit 268-284. Will you check out that cutting at 5th and Broadway? It's in the drive-in. Check. Came in on a 7.
That's a stabbing, cutting at 5th and Broadway. Unit 3's on the call. Unit 5 covering. Also, units 284 and 268, Detectives Oaks and Fox, are called in on a 2. Seems like a hurry-up call. Let's get on our way. On 5th between X and Broadway, there are two units here. Quite a few people gathered around. I see another car up on the sidewalk. Let's get out and see what it is.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Bailey.
What started the whole thing?
I don't know. I didn't hear any words exchanged or anything.
Well, where did it all take place?
Right there where those gentlemen are right now.
Uh-huh. Well, can you tell us just how it all happened, what caused it?
I don't know. He was standing at our window and he was talking to us. And he walked away, and he walked towards this way, and all at once, I seen him shove on the boy like this, then we seen him go down like that, and then I didn't even know he was cut, you know what I mean?
Doubled over?
Yeah, he doubled like this, and the boys didn't think anything about it, and he wobbled over to the door, and we didn't even know until he got inside that he was cut.
Have you got any leads on the suspects?
Yeah, we've got his name.
We got an address?
He lived right over in this house across the way.
Oaks, did you check with the victim in the hospital?
Yeah, we did, Sergeant. We don't know what his condition is as yet. We were informed that they had the girlfriend of the suspect here at the scene of the attack, but apparently they don't have her. We're going to contact the police station and advise them to contact the emergency clinic at the county hospital. If the suspect is cut badly enough to need medical attention, he'll go to the county, possibly, or he wouldn't go to the police emergency hospital. It's very likely that we will be able to pick him up out there if his injury is bad enough.
In the meantime, what are you going to do?
We'll check with the witnesses here, and then we're going back in and check with the victim again.
268-284,
remain at that
location for unit number 3.
Okay.
Okay,
Madison.
Well,
folks, what did you learn from Officer Meredith on this?
Well, we have the picture that was given to us as a suspect, identified as having gone into the house across from the scene of the cutting and was bleeding at the time.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Well, we're going over now and talk to the mother of the boy.
Please, sir. Police officer.
I don't know. I don't even see my son. I was downstairs. He was today, but they baptized my baby.
Did you see him when he come upstairs?
He doesn't know anything.
Somebody knows something. Somebody better
knows
something.
I didn't see him, eh?
You see,
where'd all the blood come from that was up here?
Well, then I don't know. I came out.
Who cleaned it up?
I did, sir.
Well, here's the thing. We got a man that's cut. And your boy cut him, and you better have your boy come up there and get this thing straightened away. And if you're hiding him out, you're subjecting yourself to go to jail for harboring a criminal. You understand what I mean?
I do, sir, but
all right.
I'm not hiding him.
He was here. You know where he's at. It's
well,
up to you to find him,
huh? He was here
now,
earlier.
You might end up in jail yourself. We don't know what the fight was about. We don't know why he cut the boy, but nevertheless, he cut him. And it's our job to see that he's picked up. And we don't want to get you involved in this and have to throw you in jail, too. So if you know where he's at or you hear from him, you better get in touch with us. We got a section of the penal code, harboring a criminal. You're just as guilty as the man that did the cutting. So you just think it over.
How are you boys going now?
Well, we're going to go check known hangouts of this fellow to see if maybe we can pick him up.
Well, give us a call if you find anything.
Okay, Dan.
Unit 99.
99, go ahead.
Unit 99. 940, units 284 and 268 at the county hospital.
940, county hospital, roger.
Check 99, came in on a 7.
That's Fox and Oaks. Looks like they're going to talk with a victim. We'll meet them out there.
Hello, Don.
Oaks.
Hi,
what do you got?
This boy that was cut, the victim's out here now. You want to go in and have a little chat with him? We'll see what he's got to say about that cutting.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Let's go in, huh? You give us your part of this story, what happened down there about the fight and so forth?
Yes, I can. I injured Paul's with a friend of mine. We both sat down at the south corner of the booth there. He ordered a piece of pie and a cup of coffee, and I ordered an egg sandwich and a cup of coffee. We ate. We were there about a half hour. Then we got up to leave, and we paid our bill, and as we were going out the door at Paul's, this young fella and this girl approached, and I was holding the door open for them. And they walked in, and as they came in, I walked out the door, and Then I was standing just a few feet from the door, and the kid wanted some change to purchase cigarettes, and the lady told him that he was too young to smoke, and he started using profane language, and as he came out, he persisted to use profane language, and I asked him to cut it out. Then he started to use profane language against me, and the girl did too, and I got kind of mad about it, and I approached him, and he didn't stop, so I just grabbed him by the collar and threw him down. Then he came up with his hand doubled up to, you know, fight. So I threw a punch at him, and he was throwing one at the same time, and that's when I was hit by the knife. And I didn't feel the knife, you know, wounded at first when he inflicted it. So I just stood there, and I seen the knife after when he dropped his hand, his guard down when it was. Then he approached me again, and I kicked him. And that's when he stabbed himself.
So you say you didn't have any weapon at all?
I've never carried a knife in my life in my pocket.
The argument that started now, was that inside the place?
No.
And you stated that you had left, that you had gone out. Did you completely close the door, or were you still holding the door open?
No, I had closed the door, but another person was coming out when I overheard him cussing.
In other words, the conversation that he was having at the time was strictly with the cashier. And you took offense at it after he came out of the place.
Yes. I wanted him to have a little more respect for her, that's all.
And that's what caused the fight and the eventual cutting of you.
Yes.
Now, did he stab you or did he cut you?
He stabbed me.
Well, how deep?
The wound cleaned through between my ribs, and it punctured my right lung, collapsed it. And I just didn't feel it right offhand, and I just stood up to him and kept fighting. Because he approached me, and the girl that he was with kept telling him to get me. And she came from behind and grabbed me. And I dragged my arm away from her, and my wristwatch came off my left hand and fell on the ground, and I seen it.
And what happened immediately after you realized that you had been stabbed?
Well, I walked into Paul's there, and I told the cashier if she'd call me a policeman. I told her that I was stabbed, and she thought I was fooling with her. So I placed my right hand up against my chest, and then I brought it back, and I showed her the blood on my hand. And that's when she called the police department, and then some fellas picked me up and put two tables together, and they laid me on it. Then, I don't know, it seemed like hours before anybody arrived there, but it was quicker than that, I guess. But, I mean, I was losing my breath. I couldn't get it.
But you had no weapon at all?
No, I've never carried a knife.
Unit 99.
99, go ahead.
940 detectives at Juvenile Hall, 99.
940 Juvenile Hall, roger.
Kimmy 907.
You know what that is, Dan? No, unless they caught the kid that did the cutting. That's Fox and Oaks again, so maybe that's the deal. They want us to meet him.
Hello, Fox, Oaks. I got your 940 to meet you out here at Juvenile Hall. I presume it's on that stabbing at 5th and Broadway?
Yes, we have a young fella in here that has admitted that he is one of the men involved in it, and we're going in to interrogate him, try and find out where the knife was thrown, if it was thrown, and anything else that's of any information to us.
Okay.
Can you tell us what happened down there?
Well, I was at a party over at a friend of mine's, and I went down to Paul's drive-in, and I wanted to get some cigarettes, me and another girl. And as we was coming out, this guy, he called me or the girl I was with some names, and I turned around and saw him coming, and at the time I pushed that girl away from me, and he hit me, and I went down and came back up, and he swung at me with a knife on his left hand, and they missed me completely except for my left arm.
That's how you got cut, was when he swung at you with a knife?
After I fell down.
After you fell down,
I came back up.
You came back up.
Yes. And after he swung at me, then I took out my knife. Then
Where did you have your knife?
In my left pocket.
Where?
Right here in my left. I mean, in my right.
In your right rear pocket?
Yeah.
What kind of a knife was that, can you tell us?
Yes, it's a white push-button blade.
A white push-button
blade?
That's what we commonly call a spring blade knife, is that correct?
There's two kinds of blades.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
But it is commonly known as a spring blade knife, is that correct?
Yes, one side sharp.
One side sharp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And After I took out my blade, he shifted blades from his left hand to his right hand, and he swung at me again. And after he swung at me again, he had his arm up in the air when I came from the bottom up and cut him across his upper skull.
The upper part of the chest, is that where you cut him?
Yes.
Did you cut him or did you stab him?
Well, if I would have stabbed him, I would just, poked at him, but
You just swung at him.
You slashed at him with a knife.
Yes.
Were you aware at the time where you had cut him or whether you had cut the man?
I didn't know till after that he was hanging onto his stomach. That's why I told you guys that I thought I cut him in the stomach, because I didn't know where I cut him.
Uh-huh. You spoke just a second ago about he having a knife. Are you sure in your own mind that he had a knife?
Well, I tell you this much, that before I took my knife out, I didn't feel it when he cut me. I didn't.
You didn't feel anything?
No, but after I put my hand in my back pocket, I put my hand down, then when I saw the blood.
Is that what made you pull a knife out of your pocket? Was the sight of blood on your own arm?
The only thing, seeing blood, after I saw blood, I thought it was his blood, but it couldn't have possibly been his blood, because I never hit him with nothing.
Up to that time, you hadn't used a knife at all.
No.
Are you sure that he had a knife?
Well, otherwise, I couldn't have cut myself. I mean, I didn't take out the blade until I saw the blade.
Did you see a blade in his hand?
I didn't know whether it was a push button or a regular knife, but
well,
I knew he had some kind of a knife.
You feel fairly sure then that that he actually had a knife. You speak of a blade as a knife, as
yes,
I understand.
Yes. But as far as I know, after I cut him, that he went staggering back against the car and against the other guys over there. Then he went back into the Paul's Drive, and he went back in there.
Where did you go then?
She said to get him, but I told her that there were some other guys coming at me. And then I saw, I'm not positive whether there's four or three guys that came at me, but I'm pretty sure that one of them followed me all the way to the house. Well, this girl that was with me, she wanted to take me to the emergency, but at that time I saw the ambulance take that guy, so I figured that if I go to the emergency that they'll probably get me there, and I wanted to go to the county.
What did you do?
Well, we went down to my mama's house, and I didn't let her know that I was cut because I was afraid to scare her, and since she's going to have a baby, see. I didn't tell her I was cut. I just went in the room and I bandaged myself, because that girl, she can't stand blood, so I put on the rag.
Where did you get the bandages?
Off of some torn sheet that my mother has under the sink.
Then you bandaged it up, cleaned up and bandaged up, then where'd you go?
No place, I stayed at the house.
You stayed there and waited until the police came and picked you up. Where did you dispose of the knife?
About 20 feet from the friend's house.
And how far is this friend's house from the scene?
From where I cut the guy?
Yes.
Fairly, I say about a block and a half.
Have you ever used that knife before?
No, the only thing I used it for is it's cutting lemons and cutting bananas.
How long have you had that knife?
For about, let me see. Well, roughly about 3 weeks.
And where did you get it?
In L.A.
Los Angeles?
Yes.
Is that your home or your father's home?
My father's over there. I went to see him because he got in a wreck over there.
So why did you get a knife?
Why did I get a knife over there? Because before I went to L.A., I used to carry my father's money here, and some guy bumped into me and he took it all. And besides that, he put a blade in my side here to take it.
So that's the reason why you got the knife, is for your own protection, is that
over
right?
Over there in L.A., but since I came over here to Sacramento, I left it in a coat, which I was wearing that night at the party, see? And before I went to Paul's Drive-In, I took the knife with me.
Why did you take the knife with you?
I figured that if anything goes wrong, I'll probably use it.
Did you have any idea that you might get into a fight? Did you have a chip on your shoulder, or?
No, nothing like that. All I figured was that if I ever try to pick on some guy, I'll probably try to pick on a guy my big as I am, because I won't be foolish enough to pick on a guy 6 foot and some inches tall.
Well, tell us how this all started at the drive-in. What caused this fight over there?
Well, me and that girl, we went to buy some cigarettes at Paul's Drive-In.
Yeah.
We went into Paul's Drive-In, and I gave that woman a 50-cent piece, and she gave me 2 quarters. But when she told me that I wasn't old enough to buy the cigarettes, it was too late, which I've already put the quarter into the machine. And after I put the quarter in the machine, I told her, well, I'm not going to buy the cigarettes anyway, roughly sort of shouting to her. I mean, the girl said, that she was going to put the money in, that she was going to buy the cigarettes. So she took the cigarettes and we walked out.
Did you have any argument at all with the woman you got the change from?
Well, I don't know whether you call it argument or nothing, but I got mad because she didn't want to give me the cigarettes, and I gave the money to that girl because it was actually her money.
When did the victim enter into this?
No, he didn't enter there. We went outside, see, and I kept my arm around the girl, and we walked away, and the guy said, that's not a very good way to talk to a girl, or that's not a... He said something like that anyway, and I kept walking on.
You felt that the language that he was using was directed either to you or to your girlfriend,
yes,
is that correct?
Yes, but I didn't pay much attention because that girl, she called my arm, put it on her, and we kept walking. And I decided to take a glimpse back, and that's when he came at me, and I pushed the girl off, and she fell down, and he hit me.
I'd like to ask you this question. Have you ever been in trouble before?
Yes.
For what?
Burglary and car theft.
For burglary and car theft?
Yeah, so.
And you have been in the detention home before this, then?
In here?
Yes.
Yes.
You have been here before.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything more you'd like to tell us?
That's about all, if that's all you want to know.
You probably wish now you'd never gone to buy those cigarettes, huh?
I wish I wouldn't have never gone to that party.
The case you covered with Unit 99 tonight was not sensational. It made no headlines and fell under the heading of routine, insofar as the investigating officers were concerned. It does, however, pinpoint a condition with which your police are too frequently confronted, the hot-tempered juvenile hood who wields a knife at the slightest provocation. There are more such cases than you hear about, and too often, the offenders are not first-timers. The stories of the two principals were conflicting on some points. The victim denied he used a knife, and witnesses substantiated his denial. The culprit claimed the victim used a knife, but the officers believe he wounded himself in the struggle. I wonder if you noticed that the culprit, before leaving on such an innocent errand as buying cigarettes, took the precaution of arming himself with a knife. And I'm sure he didn't expect to get into a fight with a cigarette machine. He was charged with assault with a deadly weapon. The victim, although he had a narrow escape, recovered and was discharged from the hospital in a few days.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.